This week, SportsLit 101, we're going back to a look back at some of our favorites from the year.
Yeah, we 2 weeks ago, we talked about some general books, some basketball books, some baseball books. And so this time around, we're going to look at some of the other ones. One of the ones that I wanted to remind people is Bodies Built for Game, the Prairie Schooner Anthology of Contemporary Sports Writing. It's a lot like Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles, a book that for a long time we kept going back to. Because in this, all the essays, all the poems, all the fiction are really top-notch efforts. That is edited by Natalie Diaz. Comes University of Nebraska Press. If you just Google up Bodies Built for Gaming, get the information. And you can order all of these books through the Briar Patch, because I talked to Jabron about it just the other day. Friend of the show, Angie Abdu, her book, Home Ice, Reflections of a Reluctant Hockey Mom, I think is a great book for parents whose kids are playing sports. She has a new work in progress, which is going to be about hiking with her daughter.
Nice.
And I'll be seeing Angie in June, and we should know a little bit more about it then. But it's from ECW Books in Toronto. You'd be much better off getting this through your local bookseller than trying to order it directly out of Canada. Nine Goals by Reg Lansbury, who was a great guest.
That was great.
It was a really great book. And you'll this one you will need to go to Barnes and Noble or Amazon or one of those if you want to get it in time for Christmas. And it's the number nine and then goals, and it's a great look back at a time in the NHL when things were very different, and it's a lot of interesting personalities wind their way through it. It's not just about that day back in 1975. We Want Fish Sticks by Nicholas Hirshon was a great book, and they brought back the New York Islanders just brought back the fish sticks hats.
Yes.
So that they're now available. For those of you who don't remember this book, the Islanders at one point decided they were going to get in touch with their Long Island fishing heritage, which was a disaster, and they decided they would honor the fishermen from the fleet out of the west end of Long Island, and they developed this sort of bad-looking version of the Gorton's fishermen and the like, and they doggedly stayed with it. And then once they changed, the NHL said you can't just change back the next year because that screws all the fans. It's about this, so it's a really interesting look at it, and it's from Nebraska, and it was just mentioned again in the New York media because people remembered it from when it happened. Now that those hats and things are back. For the serious hockey fan and serious fan of sports history, Hockey, A Global History by Steve Hardy and Andrew Holman. This is currently now, and I think will be for some time, the text that people will use as the basis for research on hockey. It's the most comprehensive look at the origins of the game, the evolution of the game, the various kinds of games that led to the creation of hockey. But here's the beauty about it. It's an academic book written for the rest of us. I have to sometimes read really turgid, awful academic prose, and I will do anything to avoid it. There's none of that in this. There are none of those silly new tautologies and other weird things that academicians think they have to have. It's written in a very concise, easy to understand, compelling way. And it's called Hockey, A Global History from University of Illinois Press. I cannot recommend it more to anybody who's a fan of sports history, whether hockey is your main interest or not. Then I was thinking about, we really had a nice visit here with Dale Wheaton, longtime Maine guy.
He was great.
He was great when he came in. And both of his books, you can get these down at the Briar Patch. You can also get them from Timberdoodle Books online, which is Dale's company. But they're called Behind the Cast and Observations from the Stern. If you like Maine humor, you will laugh throughout these books. If you like fishing and to some extent some hunting stories, you will love it. But if you are a kind of person that's in love with the landscape of the state we live in, particularly the wilder areas down east, and want to understand what it's like to try and make a living down there and be down there. Now, Dale taught economics at the University of Maine and but was raised in a guiding family but he really gets to the nitty gritty with the people of the area. It was really good. And then two more just general outdoor books that I wanted to mention are in the outdoor thing. Wilderness of Hope, Fly Fishing and Public Lands in the American West by Quinn Grover. That's from Bison Books. We don't live in the West, that's true, but we live in a state that has a lot of public land and a state that is very soon going to be faced with how much more public land it wants or doesn't want. This is a really good argument for the importance of public land. It does not mean public land takes it out of the hands of the public in any way. Don't get all frightened that the government is coming. But it's a really good look at the way public lands have been both managed and mismanaged in the Western United States. And it's a very thoughtful, very thought-provoking book. And then the last one I just want to mention again is one we just talked to. This is a beautiful book. If anybody in your family is a runner or just a fan of beautiful scenery of the West and interesting stories, to Imogene, a Flagstaff love letter from Solstice, and that's spelled S-O-U-L-S-T-I-C-E, publishing, with Miles Schrag and Julie Hammonds as the editor. That would be a beautiful holiday gift. It's a gorgeous book for your coffee table. It's a book you can read slowly. I savored it, and I just was working on a review today for the Sports Literature Association listserv, and going back through the pictures, and I didn't get much written because I just kept enjoying finding new parts of it I hadn't read as carefully before. So those are some great books. If anybody has questions, you can always contact me through the English department at the University of Maine online, or you can do it through my website, www.vepratt.com, or at obdriveway@aol.com. Anyway, if you want to contact me, let me know, and I can give you more info.
Have I asked you what that means, what that stands for?
Yes. John Gorka and I almost came up with the idea at exactly the same time, but I was first. I had a really long driveway where I lived in Connecticut, and it was legendary among my friends because it would often get boggy, and they would mention it. And somebody once said, the thing about Bruce is he spends his whole life listening to blind, dead black guys because I had a large collection of old blues records. And then there's the joke that to be a blues person, you have to have the name of a president, a color, and an infirmity. Like Blind Lemon Jefferson. So I came up with Old Blind Driveway because I had the long driveway, and it stuck over the years. And then Gorka was Slow Blind Driveway. So we had Old Blind Driveway and Slow Blind.
So that's your blues name.
That was my numb to blues, you know, when I was playing.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. What are we doing next week on Sports Lit?
Next week, we're going to take a look at the career of the man who has probably done more to define the field of creative nonfiction, Michael Steinberg, who very sadly passed away about 48 hours ago, was someone who meant a lot to me, a great writer. We talked about his book, Still Pitching, which is about growing up in New York as a high school baseball player. Michael taught at Michigan State and founded the very influential literary magazine called Fourth Genre, which was where you sort of separated nonfiction and creative nonfiction. He was a spokesman for it, one of the real promoters of that field. He has a new book, Elegy for Ebbets, which I don't have yet, which I hope to get soon. So we're going to take a look at that and pay a little tribute to Michael Steinberg, who for many, many people in Maine, through his long association with Stone Coast's MFA and his wife's long association with Haystack Mountain Arts, has a lot of fans and friends here. So we're gonna say goodbye to Michael.
Fantastic. That'll be coming up next week on Sports Lit 101.